Psalm 33. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise from the upright is beautiful. Praise the Lord with a harp, make melody to him, with an instrument of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song, play skillfully with a shout of joy. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his work is done in truth. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deep in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord, and let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the peoples of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. The Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. From the place of his dwelling, he looks on all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their hearts individually. He considers all their works. No king is saved by the multitude of an army. A mighty man is not delivered by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for safety. Neither shall it deliver any by its great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us, just as we hope in you. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, this psalm is a psalm of praise to God as the Almighty Creator. His creating power is extolled, as is the power of his government. He rules over the world. And the psalm progresses from this praise to the acknowledgement of our dependence upon him, a confession of such dependence. And then it concludes with a prayer for mercy. Verse 22, let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us, just as we hope in you. Today is our annual prayer day service, and historically, traditionally, this has been described as a prayer for crops and industry, acknowledging that we depend upon the Lord for economic well-being and prosperity. And we also pray for the advance of his kingdom. We pray for concerns that belong to the Church of Christ, but also that extend beyond that. But in praying for such things, we are reminded by our text that we are praying for mercy, because we do not deserve prosperity or freedom or safety and abundance. And we ask for mercy. And it's appropriate to see our prayer service this night as a prayer for God's mercy upon us in connection with the various petitions that we offer to him. We want to consider that our prayer for mercy is a prayer for genuine need. We truly need mercy. As citizens of this nation, we are to pray mindful of our place among the people of this country. We're not only members of the Church of Jesus Christ, but we still are members of an earthly country with a citizenship in which we have responsibilities and receive blessings. And our nation, as well as every other nation, is under the evaluation of God. God sees all things, all men. We are reminded of that in verse 13. The Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. From the place of his dwelling, he looks on all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their hearts individually. He considers all their works. And God is not indifferent to what he sees. Verse 12 says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And we have to see that in close connection to the next part of the verse, which is kind of a parallel statement that says, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. And so that is especially with reference to the nation of Israel, the people of God. And so you don't want to take those categories and shift them to the nation of Canada or the nation of the United States or any other nation that has been influenced by the Christian gospel, but is not described here in this passage. But there are other passages of scripture that teach us that righteousness exalts a nation and sin is a reproach to any people. God is a God of judgment. He judges the nations. He is the ruler of nations. And the Bible reveals that. Reveals that in the judgment of the entire world with the flood. It's revealed in the judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah or the Canaanites. In the book of Amos, we read of God's word of judgment to the surrounding nations of Israel. The book of Nahum speaks of the judgment of God upon Nineveh. The judgment of the Edomites is addressed in Scripture. And when we consider those reasons that are cited in Scripture for such national judgments in the past, we might well ask, well, how does Canada rate? You know that there is a biblical principle that to whom much light is given, much will be required. The greater the privileges that we enjoy, the greater responsibility, and also the greater guilt when such privileges are abused or forsaken. And when God looks upon a nation like Canada, he sees a nation that indeed has been largely influenced and blessed by the Christian gospel. He knows that walking the streets of our city are many, many people who have been baptized in the name of the triune God, but who never darken the doors of a church anymore to worship and honor him. And so we live in a nation that is made of many apostates who have turned away from the Lord. We live in a nation who calls evil good and good evil with respect to many important moral questions concerning the sanctity of life and marriage and sexuality. And we could go on and on. And the nation in which we live indeed provokes God's judgments. And God sees that. And we pray knowing that. We pray for God's mercy upon our nation. And then there is the professing church. I've already indicated that so many have departed from the Lord. And that also is evident by the characteristics of so many professing Christian churches. You know that if people were to survey, or if you were to ask people, what is the Christian church's position on things like the sanctity of life when it comes to things like abortion or assisted suicide, or when it comes down to the LGBTQ movement? What does the church have to say on these things? And you would get mixed answers. Because sadly, many professing Christian churches call good evil, and they call evil good. And they publicly advertise this. They fly the rainbow flag. And they want to be known for their tolerance of that which is abhorrent in God's sight. And we know from Scripture that that is provocative in the eyes of the Lord. But what about those churches that have escaped rank liberalism? What about our churches, our Reformed churches? If we have escaped those sins of departing from the authority of God's Word in theory, what about worldliness? What about our love for the Lord being chilled by the abounding iniquity about us? You know, Jesus warns against that. He says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will grow cold. And how do we appear in God's searching eye when it comes down to conformity to the world and its values? You know, 1 Peter says that judgment will begin at the house of the Lord. And we are not exempt from national judgments, and we should pray for mercy. We should pray for mercy upon the church. We should pray for mercy upon our nation, for those who do not pray for themselves, for those who, by God's mercy and long-suffering, continue to receive his benefits, but they don't acknowledge him. They don't seem to honor him. They don't express gratitude. And so we pray also as intercessors for the land in which we live. So it's a prayer of genuine need when we ask for mercy. And it's secondly a prayer for confident hope. Just as we hope in you, the psalm says. And this tone of hope is set in the previous verses. For verse 18, for example, it says, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him." Now, we just read that the Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. He sees everyone and everything. But his eye is upon the Lord, or the eye of the Lord is upon those who fear him, indicating his eye of favor and an attentive care for those who hope in his mercy to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. And that's a kind of general statement. And then it results in a claim of faith in verse 20, which says, "Our soul waits for the Lord." It's interesting. It doesn't say our souls, but our soul, almost expressing the kind of unity of the people of God in their prayers and dependence upon the Lord, upon whom we wait for his help. Now, we ought to hear also an expression of certainty and confidence, even as we pray for mercy. It's not a cringing prayer. It's not a doubtful prayer, but it is motivated by hope. And again, hope is not simply a wish about a possibility, but it's a hope of reliance and trust that mercy that we ask for will indeed match the expectation that we have in our hearts, because that expectation itself has been given to us by God. And God, who gives such hope, will not fail that hope. And that's why the richest promises of God's grace and favor are tied to this hope in God's mercy. Hope does not lead to shame or disappointment, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. And so we pray, "Let your mercy be upon us, just as we hope in you." And that also means that we refuse to rely on other things. It means that we reject other man-centered sources of confidence, like the multitude of an army, or the power of military means. These are the reasonable and the logical things that people would trust in who live by sight. And God sees men trusted in these things. And we read in verse 10 that the Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. They may devise their strategies and make their plans, but if they rely upon God, they must know that such things cannot give security. They can't save from national calamity. They can't give us spiritual comfort. These things cannot save our souls from misery and judgment. Our soul waits for the Lord. In Christ alone we have hope, in the sure mercies of God's grace to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only for this life, we wait upon him in whom we trust to deliver our souls from death and to keep them alive in famine, whatever our circumstances might be. And it's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has delivered us from the worst kind of death, that we offer up our prayers for his sure mercies tonight. Amen.